Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Hey everyone, this is Chris.
And Lorenzo.
And welcome to our Best of Saturday series. Now that we have hundreds of episodes, we get a lot of listeners asking us where to start.
So we'll be selecting some of our most popular episodes to share each Saturday from our years of podcasting. We hope you enjoy it.
No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, the other day on LinkedIn, I had a little bit of an interaction with somebody, and it got me thinking. A person posted on LinkedIn about politics. And they said, basically, is there a place on LinkedIn for politics? And there were a few people that were commenting back and forth. And, you know, I've seen politics pop up a lot on LinkedIn recently. I feel like it's kind of permeating a lot of places in our lives that it used to not. Mm-hmm. And so I made a comment on his post that said that I've unfollowed more people and removed connections from more people over the last year than in all previous years combined because of people who discuss politics on LinkedIn. I just don't see any place for it. For no other reason than it's a bad move career-wise to say something that immediately makes half the world think highly of you and the other half of the world think negatively of you. It just seems like a great way to like limit your chances of connections and networking and business opportunities in a lot of places. And so I don't do it primarily for that reason. But the secondary reason I don't do it is just because I feel like it's everywhere else. There's no shortage of places you can engage politically with people. And LinkedIn just doesn't need to be one of them. I feel like for the longest time, it was kind of a safe harbor from that. Like I said, I've unfriended and or unfollowed people on there a lot because some people just don't understand. And so what that interaction got me thinking about is the concept of the things that we're not supposed to discuss at work, right?
Yeah.
There's no shortage of articles out there on the things you shouldn't discuss at work. And for the longest time, there have been articles talking about, you know, religion, politics, you know, finances, your sex life, you know, stuff like that. You shouldn't mm-hmm. bring them to work with you. And so I kind of want to jump into a few of those a little bit to talk about the whys behind it and also about maybe where there could be some exceptions if there are any. Mm-hmm. And so let's go into that a little bit. So first of all, are there any things that you have like hard, fast rules on that you don't discuss at work? Things that under no circumstances, I mean, some of my best friends are people I work with, but sure. When I'm at work, there are still things I don't discuss at work. What falls into that category for you?
Well, it depends. Are we talking about the office door open or the office door closed?
Are the things that you're willing to talk about at work? Is that some indication of how close your relationships really are at work? As we talk about the importance of having deep, meaningful relationships with the people you work with, does that mean there's now all of a sudden a place for these things at work where there used to not be? So there's a lot here.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Communication at work and just communication in general in regards to social media and the internet and television, like there's so much more out there. There's so many things that, you know, people talk about nowadays than maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Because I remember those exact same things. I remember specifically a leader had pulled me aside very early in my career, and they said, here's the things you'd never talk about at work. And it was a very similar list of like politics and like your love life and health situations. And, you know, like it was like a list of these things. And I remember them, you know, at that time kind of clearly like, okay, like I don't need to talk about these things. But that was also before the explosion of the internet and, you know, the access to things that we see every single day and the fact that, you know, videos and concepts and, you know, everything from shows that are on Netflix that, you know, have really kind of expose kind of themes and push the limit when it comes to certain types of content, all the way to, you know, watching the news nowadays and talking about things like, you know, sexual harassment and stuff like that. Like there's just so much more conversation now where it seems normal.
There are no Walter Cronkites left. Everybody has an opinion.
Absolutely. But yeah, there are absolutely things that I don't talk about at work or share work. I just feel that they're inappropriate, you know, and if as a leader specifically, if you know that certain things will make people uncomfortable, then it's your job to make sure that those things, you know, don't get discussed or talked about. I'm just as guilty as everybody else to have a little fun and crack a joke here and there and, you know, probably toe that line a little bit when it comes to certain conversations or certain things. But there are very clearly things that have no place in the workplace for sure.
So let me ask you a question. Can you think of an example of one? Something that truly has no place in the workplace to discuss?
I think probably love life in specifics and descriptors. Those are conversations that you just don't have at work. There's the idea that there's like locker room talk and things like that. But at the end of the day, when you're trying to build an inclusive culture and you want people to feel comfortable, those conversations just should not happen at work. And I've had to sit in on those, you know, conversations with employees that have those types of conversations and say things at work that are inappropriate, make people feel uncomfortable, and that just shouldn't be there.
All right, so let's dig into a few of these. Let's start with one that I think has had maybe some movement over the last few years, and that's a person's personal health situation. It used to be that you kind of leave that stuff at the door. You don't talk about health, you know, personal health situations outside the context of, you know, what time you need off to go, you know, see a doctor, but you don't even say that. You just say you need the time off. And I feel like that has kind of moved a little bit over the last few years. What do you think?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. You know, it is, I think the culture is, and specific to, you know, the generation of employees that are out here now, there's a certain feel around empathy. And people just really wanting to connect, and they pay attention, and they see these things, and they're curious, and they ask questions. And so I have seen definitely a shift in the culture of the teams that I've led recently, where they recognize that somebody may be having a health issue or a health problem, you know, and they want to ask, and it's genuine, and it's not because they're trying to have a conversation about things that, you know, that they shouldn't talk about at work. It's actually coming from a place of care and understanding. And, you know, I've had employees come up to me and say, hey, I've noticed so-and-so hasn't been at work the last couple of weeks. Is everything all right? And then I have to, you know, follow the policy around not sharing any type of information I may know to say like, hey, you know, you're correct. They haven't been here in a while. You know, they're handling some things and, you know, they're working through some stuff on a personal level. So just know that, you know, I appreciate you asking. And if you have a personal relationship with them and, you know, feel like you want to reach out, like that's up to you. I just can't discuss anything related to anybody's reasons for not being at work, including if you were to have those reasons to not come to work as well. So there's kind of like those speaking points that you want to make sure that people understand that you appreciate that they're asking, you appreciate they have empathy, but you're not going to share some of those details because that is something that as a leader, you have to be well aware of.
Oh, right. I mean, there's no place for you talking about someone's personal medical issues, you know, as a third party. There's really no exception to that one. But if you're the person who is having the issues, I mean, I can think back to some of the relationships I've had with some people who reported up to me, where the lengths I went to accommodate the things they needed,
mm-hmm.
I went through because they clued me into what was going on. I didn't require them to. I didn't say you have to do this or bring me a note or tell me this. They decided out of their own free will to say, this is what's going on. And I'm positive that the things I did to accommodate that issue they were dealing with in their work life were, I went further than I would have for a person who just blanketly said, I need this time off and this time off and this time off and this time off. It's just human nature. There's no, you know, I would never have asked to justify the need for the time off, but I also probably wouldn't have said yes to all of it if I had not known what was going on. And so that means there is some seepage in there where, mm-hmm. where a person who decides to open that door and bring that with them probably will go a long way in terms of getting what they need, provided their leader is a good and decent person.
Yeah, I think the conversation between kind of employee and leader, like that makes a lot of sense, because many times when you're dealing with, you know, federal medical coverages and you're making decisions around time off or accommodating schedules, like that makes a lot of sense. I will also tell you that though, I hear and see more of that sharing of information from a peer-to-peer standpoint as well nowadays, where before you didn't really hear a lot of that. Now you hear employees maybe discussing these things or sharing the things they've been through when somebody else is going through something. Like, you hear a lot more of that conversation nowadays. And for the most part, I don't see it so much as an issue. Every once in a while, there's somebody who overshares too much, and they get maybe the personal disclosure or something that they need to work on, or you know, or limit in some of those conversations. But for the most part, it seems to be from a good place, and it seems to be as in, you know, giving support or providing, in, you know, informing peers to then be able to get support when they need help.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the reasons why people said for the longest time you shouldn't discuss these, it's because either there was no protections in place for employees against, you know, things like discrimination for having the medical issue, or they were worried about their boss seeing them as being a low performer because of having the issue, or, you know, cutting their hours or their performance, or you know, giving them a lesser than great review. And now it seems like just the kind of trend or the culture is such that the more you can share from a place of being forthcoming and a place of genuine, I want to have a relationship with this person, the more it goes towards getting the things done that employee needs to have as far as accommodations go. I want to move on. There are two that kind of seem really obvious here, and I don't know that there has been any change. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, your love life or sex life and religion. I mean, those two mm-hmm. seem pretty, unless you work for a religious organization, I can't think of a reason why you'd want to start discussing religion at work. It's just, there are too many ways for that to go wrong and not many ways for it to add anything to the culture, the environment, if your work isn't somehow related to that religion. But the one I really want to focus on is politics. And that goes back to my LinkedIn comment. But the reason I want to focus on it is because there seems to be a lot more of how politics has moved into the workplace. So the areas of advocacy and activism that have occurred throughout the country over the last generation, a lot of it is around what happens in the workplace. And mm-hmm. so there are issues that are politically oriented that may have a place in the workplace. Things like minimum wage or maternity, paternity leave, or you know, stuff like that. Those are things that are very much work related. So if you're a leader, how do you figure out where the line is between what shouldn't be discussed at work and what really has a place for discussion?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, because I think that the initial thought around politics was simply kind of the, you know, do you align with being a Democrat or a Republican and all those things that come with that, and avoiding having conflict at work. You know, I mean, I remember for the longest time that, like, you know, people just, you didn't share, you know, what party affiliate you were with. It was kind of one of those things, right? So I think you're spot on with saying that now a lot of these issues, when you say politics, a lot of these issues now are impacting the workplace. These things are, you know, progressively organizations and companies and businesses are either, you know, taking stances one way or another, or they're pushing the agenda one way or another, or they're challenging, you know, government in ways to provide things for employees and that type of thing. So yeah, I think there are elements of politics that are now not only acceptable, but are probably necessary to really make sure that people understand, you know, as a leader and as an organization, what things are important. And, you know, I think now we talk a lot about, you know, kind of as a culture and as a work industry, we talk a lot about you know, employee benefits,
right?
And we spent time on this show talking about, you know, what is a millennial workplace and, like, you know, what are the things that we offer. So I absolutely would say that there are a lot of elements now of politics that are welcome and should be discussed at work and should be, in some instances, helping educate employees on what their benefits and what their rights are. I do believe, though, that the elements of politics when it comes to things that are not applicable at work. So if there are, you know, things that are going on in the news or policies or, you know, stances that have nothing to do with your job, those are the things that should definitely not cross the line and come into the workplace.
Right. I mean, if you think about a lot of these issues, the reason why they shouldn't be discussed are because they are deep issues with a lot of nuance, and mm-hmm. it's very difficult to hash them out in a 2 or 3 minute conversation. And when you're talking about how your coworkers judge you or interact with you, they don't have the full picture of who you are. So if you take a stance on something that they disagree with, that becomes the entirety of how they see you. You're just mm-hmm. this person who believes this thing. And that might be very different from, you might have a close friend in your life or a family member who completely disagrees with you on whatever that issue is, but they know the entirety of you. They know your character. They know who you are as a person. And while they may disagree with you on that particular topic, it doesn't cause them to want to push you out of their life, because the net, what you bring to the relationship is still positive. And when you talk about a lot of political issues at work, what you're in essence doing is you're saying you're elevating that issue that is not work related, or usually is not work related, above the collective opinion that that person has on you. And it that could lead to that person not wanting to work with you or collaborate you or have you on the same team. Or if they are higher up in the organization than you, it could hurt your ability to get promoted or to get on certain teams or get certain assignments that might help you in your career. So that's kind of what it's rooted in, the concept of not talking about it. But there are plenty of opportunities where those things don't apply because the relationship is strong. And the mm-hmm. relationship is one where that person knows you, knows the entirety of you, and isn't going to judge you negatively for something you just disagree on.
Yeah, well, even if they, you know, even if there's judgment there, I think this day and age, the amount of, you know, as I mentioned earlier, like elements of social media and, you know, talking, the freedom in which people will share their opinions nowadays, I don't know that you could ever stop. I think the train has left the station.
Right.
On
it has,
saying
for sure.
It's not allowed to talk about politics at work. Like, it's going to happen. So I think as a leader, you have to understand that, and you have to be wary of it. You have to listen for it, and then you have to help redirect the conversation. You know, remind people of you know that this is a time and place for that. And while we all want to be respectful of our opinions and our thoughts, like, let's keep conversations that are things like that are work related. And if you want to have a conversation with somebody about those types of things, then, you know, leave work together, go hang out, you know, go have dinner and talk about your opinions and your thoughts in that manner. Because I don't think that we'll ever, I don't think we're going to ever come back to where it's not going to be something that we talk about at work anymore. I think there's just too much out there. It's too easy for people to talk about it at every other platform or place they want to talk about it. So of course it's going to bring itself to work.
But if you look at why people want to, you have to look at the root cause of this. Like, why are people wanting to discuss it? Like, mm-hmm. I can understand why you'd want to discuss politics with, you know, your elected representatives. Mm-hmm. If you had an hour alone with the president, I could understand why you want to talk politics. But to discuss it with a coworker, What is that actually rooted in? Why are people wanting to do that? Well, it's because they're trying to figure out if you're a good person or not. They take your political views and they assign a character to it. Do you have good moral character, sound moral character, or poor moral character? And because people have taken a lot of these issues and assigned a moral character label to everyone, it used to just be that there were a couple of real big issues that you could use to decide whether somebody had strong moral character. Do you believe that all men and women, genders, races are created equal, or do you believe that some are better than others? Mm-hmm. You could use that to decide whether or not someone is of sound moral character. But we've moved into a realm where people are assigning those same labels to people. Either this is a good person or this is a bad person, for things that are just tiny. In essence, they're saying nothing is tiny anymore. Everything is a major issue now. And so that's where the issue can come into play, is do you know as a leader how to figure out where the discussion is appropriate and where it could lead to a really terrible work environment, regardless of your beliefs? Just having two people not agree with each other on something where each of them is saying, this person is not of sound moral character anymore because they disagree with me on this issue, that's not a healthy place to work. And these are issues that don't have one right or wrong answer. They're nuanced, and if they were easy, we would have solved them by now, right? So sure. We talk about them constantly because they're not solvable, and they never will be. And so as a leader, how do you make sure that permeation doesn't cause an environment where people don't want to work around each other?
Yeah, I think it's a great, challenging question. It's not easy. It's messy work. It requires, I think, building a culture where transparency, and I think we've talked about it before, like psychological safety, like a place where it's okay to talk about the things that you have questions about, and to talk about your opinion. I think you have to have that culture and environment set up first. And then when these things kind of creep up every once in a while, you can then at least approach it from a, hey, you know what, like, we want a culture here where you can come to work and be all of yourself. We want a culture and environment here where everybody can believe in the things that they want to believe in, right? Let's just respectfully understand that some of these things will not be solved here. Some of these things have no place here because there's nothing that we do around them at all. And really what they end up doing is they end up dividing us into having, you know, I feel this way, you feel that way. And then we create an environment where it's not healthy and we're not supporting each other, right? So my ask of you as the leader is let's be respectful of the fact that we all have different thoughts, we all have different opinions, we all have different stances. And if you want to discuss these things with one another to help build your relationship, to help maybe find some common ground, to help have healthy debate, by all means do that. We just won't do that here. This is not the place for us to have those conversations. Feel free to have those conversations on your own time, and you'll kind of help position what that conversation should look like and why they would want to have that conversation with a peer. I think that's really, as a leader, in my opinion, the way to approach these situations. But I think you could only do that if you already have a culture where people are willing to hear you out and listen to that and understand that that's coming from a good place and that you are trying to help them realize why, while having those conversations at work, is not a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack.
The 1 minute hack.
So for this episode's 1 minute hack, here's what I want you to do. As the leader of a team, if you get a sense or feeling that there is some of this political conversation going on within your team, your organization, you know, or your business, I want you to start to have some conversations with the people that are having this type of conversation from a political standpoint and pull them aside. And what I want you to talk to them about is not necessarily saying, I need you to stop and that there's no place for this type of communication here in our business, but I want you to spend time with them trying to help them understand how this type of conversation is not healthy for them. You know, yes, they may have a conversation with somebody about something and change their perspective or even change their, you know, their thought process around a certain political issue. And if they feel that that's a victory, then okay. But at the end of the day, there's more at risk for them if that conversation goes south or doesn't go well. And that's something that is really important for that person, for their career, for the relationships they have at work. And your role as a leader is to help them see that and understand that, to make sure they're not stepping on landmines throughout the day that are causing there to be issues as they continue their career and look for aspirations going forward.
Yeah, I think it's a great 1 minute hack. Any time as a leader, you can put it into the perspective of how are you trying to be an advocate for your employees, as opposed to trying to convince them to be an advocate for you or make your life easier as the leader. You're kind of throwing it back on them and saying, this is what I'm here for, is to make life better for you. And you're not making your own life very easy by doing this at work. So yeah, I totally agree with that.
Absolutely. With that, it brings us to the end of another episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.